at all. It's like a challenge, if you want. A little bonus challenge. So I think I have it on the slideshow, Anthony, I think. Oh, there it is. Yeah, so let's just read it together, because even if you don't have it memorized, the more if we read it again, we'll just read it again tomorrow as well. Maybe it'll sink in. It's pretty, it's like a nice line, repetitive type of thing, so hopefully it helps you out. Let's read it. You can read it with me. That'd be great. Ready? So Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All right, thanks for reading with me. So, again, I think this is a great verse for a lot of reasons. And this whole idea of it's not what you think, okay? And this idea that God's ways are not our ways, which is what it's not what you think is all about, okay? Because we think one thing, and we see our thoughts are not his thoughts, right? And so it's something that hopefully just as we go through this next part of Abram's story, that just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Keep that going there. Now, so last night we talked about life goals and bucket lists, right? And who gave Abram really his list, right? God, right? God gave them to him. He called him out and called him into a place that he was going to give him. He said he would give him a land, a place he would show him, and he did. Now, he didn't give it to him right away. He said, I'm going to show it to you. He showed it to him. He's like, yeah. And one thing we skipped over, if you go back and read it, it talked about the fact that the people that lived in the land had sinned so greatly that God was going to judge them. That's something I think I didn't really mention it. I think it's very important. I said, well, isn't that kind of unfair that God would just like take people's land away from them? Isn't that like it's like social studies, don't we study that? And it's like, that's unjust, that's wrong, right? I mean, hello, right? I mean, yeah. If you're just going to come in and just like, if I just come to your house, we're like, yo, out of your house, it's mine. You'd be like, no. I'm like, no, seriously. If you don't leave, you're going to die. And if I actually force that upon you, that would be, I should go to jail, right? I should be in trouble for that. But the thing is that seems like, in that sense, when we think about that in a lot of modern ways, we're like, oh, that doesn't seem right. But all through the Bible, we see that there are peoples and there are situations where, again, God is sovereign. God is in control. And the people that lived in this land had sinned so greatly that God decided he would judge them by removing them from their land. And he used the people of Israel eventually, as you read the Bible, the story of the Bible, to come in and do that. And so there's a part when he talks to Abram, he said the time of the Amorites, their sins of the Amorites is not quite complete. Their sin has not yet reached the full where they're going to be removed. So it's very important for us to understand. It's not just like they were selfish and greedy and they came in and took it over. God was in charge of that. And there's a lot of people, a lot of history, if you study world history, where people will claim that God told them they could do that, and that's not really true. But with the people of Israel, with Abram, that's the only example, I think, you're going to see that, where God directly tells someone, I'm going to give you this land. But God does use other people later on. The Israelites are going to lose the land. If you study on and read the Old Testament, right, the Babylonians come in and take them captive. The Assyrians, others, there are other invading forces that the Israelites lose the land eventually, too. So that's something, as you study the history of the Bible, to keep that in mind, that ultimately God is in control. And there's always things going on that like, are really obvious or really simplistic answers, okay? There's always more going on. There's no simplistic answers. As much as we would wish that everything was very cut and dry, very easy to kind of put in little boxes, that's just not life. And I hope you guys, as you guys are growing, you're understanding more and more that that's just the case. And we can have, like, an idea, like, oh, it should just be like this. Well, okay. But it probably is, that's not necessarily going to be the way it is. So anyway, just a little background with that. But anyway, so the Israelites, Abram is going to have this land. God shows it to him. He also tells him he's going to have a nation from him. Okay, he's going to have a whole family. And that had not come to pass. And we saw last time at the end of our talk last night that God makes a covenant with Abram. And he really goes through it on his own. He basically says, it's up to me to fulfill this covenant to you, Abram. Like, Abram didn't have to do anything for this to come to pass. Or Abram can't do anything to lose it either. That's one thing that's really cool in this covenant. All right. So he also says he's going to make him a blessing. So there's this idea of land. As if you want to remember, land, seed, and blessing. Land, family, a nation, children, and blessing, that God was going to bless the whole world through Abram. So that's something really important. That is part of that's his bucket list. That's his life goals. And God will make this to pass. However, it's not going to fully come to pass. Because you guys looked at a passage after this morning's activity, right, in Hebrews? And what did that verse kind of tell us about this whole thing with Abram? Do you remember anything from that as you guys looked at that, if you did? What about this? Did Abram fully, yeah. Okay. Yep. Do you guys remember in the Hebrews passage? It's true. Abram was faithful and God blessed him. But did he fully see the full end result of the blessing? You guys remember that? I talked about, you know, he hadn't quite seen. He looked forward. He didn't have that heavenly. Anyway, so there's a lot of things in that passage that you guys, if you looked at that, and it's really cool. So we're going to look a little bit more about that aspect today. And so if I had to give this talk a kind of title, it would be Traps and Promises, okay? And so we're going to play a little game. Has anyone ever done Minesweeper before? Anybody? Like, this is super old, right? Like, what in the world? Not Minecraft, right? This is Minesweeper. You could, like, still get this, I guess, on your phone or something. This was like, when I was your age, we got our first PC, and it was on the computer. You got to play it for hours. It's like every computer, I think, still comes with Solitaire, but it doesn't come with Minesweeper anymore. It's really weird. I don't know what's up with that. I'm kind of offended. At least every, like, PC, like, not Apple-based stuff. Anyway, so this is super old school, but there's a game that was back in the day called Minesweeper. So one thing that you guys experienced this morning was some traps, right? A little bit. And so that this morning really sets us up for tonight. Did everyone's like journey go perfectly smoothly this morning? Who had like the perfect journey? It just worked out perfect. There was a growing group, I think, right? You guys actually started, followed the journey, ended up where you needed to be, probably got done earlier than everybody else. But was it still like, were there still difficulties on the way? Yes. But everyone else, I think everyone else had either, we had two paths, right? We had two groups that chose the downstairs. Let's get going. That ended up turning into what, you guys who were on that journey? Yeah, you basically had a double journey, right? Yeah, it's sort of like, yeah, it was almost torturous, right? But you finally got there, you're like, yes, we got it. And they had five steps instead of four steps and two groups. And they ended up, and the end result was go back to the beginning and start again. That was what their journey was. So we symbolized the wide road to destruction. I was like, how do you portray? I'm not going to actually like destroy you because that would be illegal. But like the idea, I thought, when I thought of destruction, this is one way you could, I thought of like the idea of futility, just like you get nowhere. Just like a never-ending cycle of nothingness. So, you know, you're doing a lot. So you guys who did that, and one thing I want to just point out, the one group, when they went to go grab the clue, they were like processing out loud. This is what I heard at least. And they're like, hey, everyone's going that way. Let's go the road less traveled, like, which is kind of like what I was sort of talking about. So they were thinking. So I wanted to just say, you know, props to that. You guys were like thinking through that. Sadly, it just happened to be wrong. Right? I mean, but that's the thing. It's tricky, right? Like, here's the thing. The wide road, narrow thing, it's like few that find it. Okay, well, yes, many of us thought through, okay, well, that one has a challenge. I mean, whatever, I don't know. Yes, you chose the dining room first. Is there a reason why you chose that? It's a 50-50 shot, right? Because if you guys had chosen right and they had chosen wrong, four groups would have had to go around twice, right? And here's the thing. Of the other groups, the four groups that chose right, somewhere along the way, we got a little off track. We actually got on the other route somehow. Because the tracks started very different, but then at one point sort of intersected slightly, and there was a little bit of a distraction. Some of it was maybe because we didn't quite exactly know the map. You know, the map wasn't really super clear, okay, but technically the dot wasn't on that building. It was next to it, so whatever. The point is, like, hopefully you guys had some good discussions, but there's things just, right, there's traps along the way, and we make these choices, we walk this journey. It's a game, right? So hopefully it's of no consequence. You were extra cold and miserable, maybe. And you guys were awesome. The last team, like, everyone finished the race. Here's the thing. In fact, one group was it. Which one is the narrow way? So it wasn't you guys. It was the other group. Yeah, you asked me. So which one was the narrow way? And I think I answered you. Well, you guys chose wrong. Then I thought about it later. Actually, I thought about it later. Because we had a second chance. And, of course, I sort of encouraged you. No one, you still took that advice and got on the right track, right? And the fact is, your narrow way, in a sense, did start, even though you started on the wrong track. If you think about it, in our lives, do any of us really start on the right path? No, we're all in this, right? And it takes something else to, so in a sense, that journey, we're going to have to get off that wide path and find that narrow way. So in a sense, you guys' epically long journey of 9 stations was harder, more difficult maybe, but you still ended up in the same location, in the same destination, and you guys all finished the task. So that's something I think is really cool. I mean, that, and I was like, oh man, are they going to give up? Like, I honestly was like, I don't know. So I want to encourage you guys. No one gave up. You probably wanted to, right? But you. So I just want to encourage you. Now that perseverance is hard. There are traps all around. Okay, as we go in our way. Okay, when we go as we're following God, there are traps along the way. And Abram had the same exact experience. Abraham, he'll become Abraham. He had numerous traps that he fell into. We are not going to go through all of them. So hopefully, if you haven't studied Abram, you can go back and, you know, open your Bible and read it, okay? But there's a time where, like, he just, yeah, for whatever reason, he just falls in these traps. And so, again, he's a character in the Bible that's a great example for us in a lot of ways, his faith and the things we're focusing in on. But we're going to look at one of the scenarios where, oh my goodness, like, he just totally falls in this trap, and Sarah as well, and there's consequences, and it's not good. The cool thing, though, even though the traps happen, is we're going to see that God is still faithful. Okay, God's promises still remain. And I think that is super important. Now, again, there can be a trap even in that. Okay? Again, you're like, whoa, so that means if God's faithful, that means I can, like, not care as much, right? If it's all forgiven anyway, then what's the big deal? Anyone, I mean, you may not have ever vocalized that, but we have these thoughts. If you haven't had those thoughts, I mean, that's interesting. But I mean, but you're like, well, no, wait a second. And that itself is a trap. That can be a trap. And that's not true. But it is true. God is faithful. So I think that we can really learn a lot from this story. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you have your Bibles. We're going to open up to Genesis chapter 16 today. Okay? And so we're going to be looking at this one very significant section, and we're going to read it. Like, I'm going to read the whole thing because it says it way better than I can. And we're going to make some observations. So today I'm not going to, like, necessarily do a big, like, talk necessarily. I've already talked quite a bit. We're going to read the passages. So be listening, be observing, be reading along. And just be looking and observing what's happening and what are these traps. What happens when these traps are not avoided, they're fallen into. And then also, how is God's promises, how is God still faithful? Okay, that makes sense? So that's what we're going to be reading. We're going to read through kind of three sections technically. And we're going to just make observations from that. All right, so that's where we're going. Before we start, let me just pray real quick for us. God, we just pray right now as we read your word that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's pray. Let's read, not pray. I just prayed. All right, I'm going to read from a paper because my Bible, like, I'm getting old and the words are really small. So I'm reading from the Bible, but it's on my paper here. All right, chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, right? Remember that? Okay. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go unto my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. All right, anyone see a trap so far? Okay. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress, Sarai, became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." You want to see another trap? So far, a couple traps. We're seeing some traps. There's traps all around. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, Hagar fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her, that's Hagar, by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. That's a lot. Okay. And the angel of the Lord said to her, this is pretty cool, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. Now that name actually means God hears. That's what Ishmael means, God hears. Because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So that was, in essence, a blessing from the angel of the Lord and a prophecy as well. So anyway, so then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, I also here have seen him who sees me. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Whew, that's a hard one. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And so Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. All right, there's our first story. What traps do we see there in that account? Just you can talk. It's all good. What do you guys see? Any traps? What was the first trap that you noticed? Or we could say a mistake, an error. Oops. Oh no. What is this? Wait. I thought God made promises, and Abraham believed God. And like, wait, what's going on? What's happening? What's the first thing? What's the main big thing? Yeah. Yeah. Like, he had a wife, and then he's with his wife's like maidservant. Now we can get into some details with that and whatever. Like, is that really wrong? Yeah. Okay. Yes. He basically married her and then had children, so technically it's, anyway. But I think we can sit back, even though that's like, yeah, that's pretty much not right. Yeah, that's not right, okay? But in their culture they were in, that wasn't necessarily as wrong as we might kind of feel it is right now. Just to let you know. Culturally, that may have been fine. But was that fine? No, it's a trap, right? Just because culture says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay with God, right? This is a wonderful example. We're not going to go into a list. Are there things in our culture that everyone in our culture is like, oh, yeah, it's fine. What's wrong? Yeah, of course that's okay. And we read God's word and we're like, I don't think that's okay with God. Are there things in our culture that everyone accepts as okay that are not okay? Right? Yeah, there's tons of stuff. And again, we're not going to go in a big list. I'm not going to name, all the things. There's lots of stuff. There's traps all around. Culture isn't like necessarily going to always be exactly in alignment with God's word. It never has, and it never will until Jesus comes back, okay? Just so you know, okay? And that's something that's really important. That's a trap. Why? So the fact that he slept with his Hagar, that's bad. I think, that's wrong. But what was the bigger thing that was wrong? What was Sarai's kind of trap? Like, who promised that they were going to have a son? That Abram was going to have a son? Yeah, the Lord, right? Right, I like how you said that. We're not waiting that long. I like how you said that. Yeah. I mean, the way I look at this, it's the trap is they're trying to help God out, right? I guess that's kind of a good intention. I don't think Sarai was like, God, oh my gosh, whatever. She wasn't mad at God. It doesn't seem like there's any sort of like bitterness I don't know. I don't just read it. It's like, and then she said this, and then they did this, and he's like, okay. I'm like, Abram, what's up, man? Like, why don't you like, no, we're gonna wait for God. It's not really Sarai's fault. It's kind of both their fault, right? But they kind of like, you know what? Hey, why don't you have I will have children by her. They're still Abraham's descendants. And is that true? Is Ishmael a descendant of Abraham? Yeah. Is God going to bless Ishmael? Yes. Is Ishmael the promised chosen one who the nation, who God's blessing is supposed to come through? No. Well, we're not quite there yet, right? But no, we're going to see that next part we're going to read. God's going to say, no, you, Abram, no, you. But at this point in the story, they don't really know that. So it's kind of crazy. Another trap is once Hagar is pregnant, it says she despises her mistress. Like, what's that? What does that mean? You guys know what that, what is that? Basically, what's that? What is that? She's sort of jealous, but I think Hagar despises Sarai. Why does Hagar start to hate her mistress, her boss, basically, like the woman she cares for? It's weird. It's cultural kind of weirdness, I guess. But it's like, you're the reason why that you guys aren't having kids. Right? Well, that's pretty messed up. Okay? But there's this bitterness. There's this jealousy. There's this animosity that's going on within this tight family, basically. I mean, they're like servants. She's her maidservant. They're not related. And it's not right what's going on. But there's just so much, again, we say, oh, there's drama. Oh, there's conflict. Oh, my goodness. It's everywhere. This is a mess. Abraham's like family. He may be like, yeah, my family's a mess. Yeah, guess what? We're reading a story of a family that's kind of a mess. Okay? And so, but God's going to still use them. God's going to still work through them. So, again, another trap is, this is like a mess. Like, I kind of get it, I get off the hook for like, keep going, keep having more mess. And that's not true. That's another trap. So there's lots of traps, okay? We don't have time to go through all of it. It's amazing. So, just thinking about this, when we try to help God, that doesn't really tend to work really well. There are things that God's promised that only God can do. And Abram started out, he was what, 75? And now how old did he say he was? He was 86, right, at this point. So this is 11 years after he was promised. They figure out how to have a son. Well, that's great, but not great. I mean, it's not Ishmael's fault, right? It's not even really Hagar's fault. Does she really have a choice in this matter? Right? The answer is no. It's not. She had no choice. This is like full of craziness, okay? But it's real. This is real life. And this is like amazing. And God is still faithful to his promise to Abram through even Ishmael, who was like not really supposed to be born in a sense, but he was, because he was still in this plan of God. It's amazing. So their attempts to help, Abraham's and Sarai's attempts to help God lead to a child, which is Ishmael, and I would say fractured relationships all around. Abram and Sarai's relationship is strained. They're not having a good time. Sarai and Hagar's relationship is messed up. They're no longer getting along and like having a wonderful relationship. Hagar and Abraham's relationship is kind of messed up now, like kind of crazy, right? Like, it's so messed up. Anyway, and Ishmael really versus everyone, right? The prophet, he's not born yet, but it's basically the angel of the Lord says, yeah, pretty much he's going to be against everyone and everyone's going to be against him, but I'm going to protect him. Like, this is not a cool life goal bucket list thing, right? I mean, honestly, my heart kind of goes out like Ishmael, like, oh my gosh, could you imagine that being said of you before you were born? Oh my word. It's heartbreaking is what it is. It's heartbreaking. But again, it's because we started with Abram and Sarah, just not being patient, not waiting for what God wanted. All right, we're gonna skip ahead quite a bit. We're not going to read the whole section in chapter 17. There's a lot of amazing stuff there. I encourage you guys to read it. So more time passes where basically God reminds Sarah, Abram and Sarah, hey, that was not cool what you did. He didn't say it that way. He said, no, I'm going to give you a son from Sarai. That's going to happen. And they're like, what? And Abram just says, well, what about Ishmael? Just like, let's let it be happen. No. God's like, no, that wasn't my plan. That's not what I want. That's not my promise to you. And so because of that, in chapter 17, the bottom line is that God gives Abram and Sarai a second chance. He really does. He renews his promise. He says it again. And he gives them new names. That is really, really cool. He makes Abram's name Abraham and makes Sarai's name Sarah. And so at that point on, they have new names. They have new names. And that's like, I think their new names should be a reminder of like they had another chance to get it right. And at that point, Abram is 99 years old. So that is 86, 99. How many years later? I'm bad at math. I went to Bible college, right? A lot. 13 years. They went along for 13 years thinking that they did like God a favor and everything was cool, even though it was messed up. Isn't that kind of wild? God didn't, like, as soon as Ishmael was born, again, the angels, God shows up to Hagar and tells her to go back, and they're like, oh, good, everything's fine. It's still not right, but God's still going to work in it. But it wasn't until 13 years later where God reminds him, hey, next year at this time, you're going to have a son through Sarah. And oh, yeah, and Abraham's like, oh, yeah, but what about Ishmael? Ishmael, why don't you let everything go through him? He's like, no. That's not what I want. It's going to be another, you're going to have another son. And you're going to name him Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. Because when God reminds Abram, no, it's going to be you and Sarah, he's like, oh, really? He laughs. I don't know about you. Have you ever, like, laughed at God? That's kind of like a scary proposition. But that's kind of what happens. Abraham laughs. He laughs. He's like, this is ludicrous. Now, I don't think it's a disrespect laugh. I think it's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He's 99 years old, and Sarai is 90 years old. This is crazy. So let's, if you want to turn, this is the last section, or two sections we're going to look at. Genesis 18, so we're going to skip ahead another chapter. Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15. And this is, I love this little section. This is so cool. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, and as he was sitting in the tent, the door, the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the ground. He said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass upon by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread. You may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. And so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, and gave it to a young man who hastened and prepared it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which we had prepared and set it before them. Like they had a picnic, right? It's outdoor dining. It's all good. All right. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And so he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. We've already heard this before in the story. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. So he repeats himself. But Sarah denies it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Like, I think this, I just think this is sort of like a, like, I can picture it. It's almost hilarious to me. I don't know why. This is a really cool interchange. It's really, like, intimate. It's really, I don't know, it's very vivid when I read this and I think of this, what was going on. And think of this. The Lord appears to Abraham, and it's called a theophany, okay? It's not like God doesn't always show up, but this isn't, like, this is like he appeared as a man, but this was God. And there's two others that were with him, and they end up being angels because the story right after this, the two angels continue on to a place called Sodom and Gomorrah to go hang out with Lot, who's Abram's nephew. And if you know that story, that's a good one to read. It's good times. The two angels end up, like, rescuing Lot and his family and getting them out of there before this God destroys the city. So we know that the two are angels. We don't know exactly who they are, what angels they are. But the third is a theophany, the appearance of the Lord before, like, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord. Okay, it's amazing. And the Lord is speaking, just like we would talk to each other. So this is not very common. And we know that God has talked with Abraham in visions. He's talked to Abram in, like, these other environments. He's appeared at that burning pot type of thing with that covenant. But this is a unique time where he shows up a little bit differently. But notice, Abraham knew who he was. I think that is really, really cool. Somehow he knew it was God. I don't know how, but it's kind of a cool just thing to think about. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's that whole thing. Like, Jesus walks in this room. Would we be like, would we even recognize him? What would we do? What would we say? Would we even, like, And this is one of those scenarios where I think it kind of reminds you, like, you should be always be looking. And you know, we don't want to miss it, right? When Jesus came to earth as a baby, right, the Jewish people, he was their promised Messiah. Did they all, like, understand who he was? They missed it. They knew the truth. They had their Bibles. They went to church. They knew all the answers or whatever. They memorized the whole first five books of the Bible by the time they were our age or your age, way past my age. I didn't memorize the first five books of the Bible, word for word. No way. Like, it's amazing what they did. They knew their Bible, but they missed it. Here, Abram, he recognizes the Lord. And this scenario is so cool. Key phrases, right? You will have a son. I will come back next. By this time next year, you're going to have a son. So finally, after all this time, God is going to make it happen. This is 25 years later, after it was promised. And it's not going to be through Ishmael. It's going to be through their own son. And Sarai is kind of being rebuked a little bit here. But this idea that this is going to be true for her. I mean, there was a stigma, and she had to go through a lot in all of this. We don't have time to study her character as much. We're kind of focusing on Abraham. But it's amazing what she had to go through. And to finally, like, be told this, it's like, I don't know. Like, it's amazing. But God is going to make his word to be true, and she ends up having this pleasure. And so she laughs. Again, Abraham laughed earlier. We didn't read that. Sarah laughs here. And again, Isaac's name means laughter. And we're going to see one more story. Move over. We're going to skip a bunch of chapters over. This is our last section for tonight. Okay? You guys are doing awesome. I know it's late. We ran around all day. So it's okay. I know you're a little tired. Genesis 21. So this is like a few chapters in the future. A lot of other stuff happens. But finally, this is a year later now in the chronological story. We're going to see Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. All right, so I'll read it for you guys. So, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. That's awesome, right? Again, God is going to fulfill his promises every single time. It is not going to be how we think sometimes. It's not going to be exactly at the timing we want, as we see with this story. But the Lord visited Sarah just as he said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Again, wow. Amazing. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Exactly like he said in that passage we just read earlier. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac. That was part of the covenant. We skipped over those sections. Okay. That was a big part of a sign of the promise, a physical kind of a gruesome sort of thing, but yet very real to remind them they were God's people, okay? And so Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old. That's what God had told him to do. Every male child was born from Abraham was going to be circumcised when they were 8 days old. And so they did that, so they obeyed. Now, here's the key verse. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarai said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. When I read that and I think of the laughter, I think this is like a laughter of joy. It may have started a little bit, maybe like a cynical sort of like, what? But I think there's an element of this laughter is joyous because God fulfills his promises. And when we see that, there's pain and suffering in the process sometimes. But when we finally see it, oh, he did keep his promise. We can't help but be joyful. We can't help but like almost laugh. A smile comes across our face like, oh my goodness, I didn't even see that coming. That's not what I thought it would be like. But it's so much better. Simple observation, right? Was there any human reason for Abraham and Sarah to have a kid? Right? It's crazy. It's a miracle. That's what it is. It's a miracle. It's not natural. This is not normal. This is God. Only God did this. And that's really the point, right? God's not going to be like, hey, I'm going to do a thing that only I can do, so why don't you like help me out with it? right? But that's how we live our Christian life sometimes, right? I'm talking to people who have trusted Christ. We do this. We're like, oh, okay, I got to try harder next time. Like, there's things, guys, like, yo, that's me. That's my job. Stay in your lane, bro. Like, you know, God says that to us sometimes. We try to, like, take the reins. We try to take over where it's only God can do that. Now, the life of following God and following Jesus is full of things that we do need to kind of do. Like, I'm not saying, like, Christian life is just sit back and relax and nothing. You don't have to do anything. No, I'm not saying that. Obedience is action and following and believing what God wants us to do. But our righteousness is not found in our behavior. It's not found in our choices. Our righteousness is found in a person. And who is that person? Do you guys know who it is? It's Jesus, right? The gospel tells us, we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, the gospel tells us that it's in Christ that we have all of what God wants us to have. We can't be righteous on our own. We need Jesus. God's promise is something that he will bring to pass. And as he works in our lives, as we take that narrow path, it's difficult. As we go out from where we are to where God wants us to be and follow his promises, it's going to be a journey. It's going to be a process. And each step is one step. It's one step. It's one step. And there's on the way, there's traps that can get us off track. You know, the devil doesn't want you to, like, walk with God. Like, that's from the Garden of Eden. He's not cool with, like, humans following God. Right? Like, off the very beginning. So why do you think you're any different than Adam and Eve, right? I don't think they lasted very long, by the way. I think it was like a couple days, maybe. Like, have you ever thought of, like, how long do they in the garden for? I think it was like a week tops. That's my opinion. Total opinion. Don't, like, quote me on that. like, why is Satan going to wait, like, really long time for them? Maybe it took a while to name the animals. I don't know. Maybe they're really fast at stuff. I don't know. Anyway, but the point is, like, I just think it's crazy. This narrow path is crazy. But it's real, it's true. And it's ultimately, it's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's in him that we find all that we are promised in God, in Christ, from God. It's amazing. And really, that is in the backdrop of Abram's story too. He had to learn that. It was God who's going to fulfill his promises. So as you guys go to your group times, I think I'm done. Yeah, good. I'll probably talk way too much. As you guys are your group times, I want you guys to just think about that. The traps and promises. There are traps on the way, but the promises will keep us moving forward. And God will do his thing. You're going to end up looking at a verse in James, which I think is a great verse as Christians to read, a New Testament passage. Kind of connects us from, like, the Old Testament character to the New Testament truths. And so hopefully that really encourages you guys. We have, like, a lot of time before, like, the next thing or whatever, so I encourage you guys to talk, to interact. You've been awesome listening to me ramble on, okay? And I appreciate that. I hope something I said really triggers your thinking, and these Bible stories can just sink in. So let me pray for you guys as you go to your group times. Leaders, there's a handout on the piano, and just enjoy your time together. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much, and I thank you for Abraham and Sarah, and I'm even thankful that they screwed up in some way because, you know, Lord, that I don't always avoid the traps. And I am so grateful for your grace. I'm so grateful for your mercy. I'm so grateful for the cross. I know I'm a sinner and there is no hope for me outside of you, Lord Jesus. And I know that my life in following you is only going to be something that brings honor and glory to you if you, by your Holy Spirit, change me. And I'm so grateful that I've seen that process. I've recognized that. But it's not, I take no credit for that. And for my brothers and sisters that are here in this room, I know they can say the same thing. It's not us, it's you. And so God, I pray as these guys go and have discussion times that we just would, they'd be able to just really open up and connect. Because honestly, Lord, we really do try to help you all a whole awful lot. And you just want us to trust you, to obey you, to walk with you. We need to stop making everything about ourselves. And I think as we see Abraham, I think he was humbled through this process. And so God, I pray you would humble us through these processes. When we go through, when we make choices that end up being a trap, even though we didn't think it was a trap. And we're kind of on the other end of that. We get back on track, kind of like the game this morning. There's a kind of a weariness that can come to us through that. But yet, God, help us to have that perseverance that you, by your Spirit, would draw us, continue on to draw us. And we would not give up. We would not lose heart. We would not lose hope. We would cling to Christ in those times. And so I pray right now as we go to our group times that you would just guide the conversations, help them be productive, encouraging, and helpful. In Jesus' name, amen.